to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, coming to you live and direct from, in this case, my couch with my wife eating her dinner and listening to her book, and my dog all of a sudden very interested in what's going on here. Going to be a puppy assistant for this episode. That's always appreciated, pup. I appreciate it. Now, listen. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to record a podcast whilst doing basically homework, but I have a motorcycle class this weekend, and if you're looking, it is currently Thursday, and I'm just getting to the required coursework before the class. Now, as an adult, am I a fan of getting basically homework? I am not. I have to listen to a man very slowly read me the things that I could read very quickly. It's also because I am a procrastinator and may or may not have realized it went into my spam folder as an email. Listen, that's not important. I just wanted you guys to know what I went through to bring you a quality podcast that's on time this week. You're welcome, and you're welcome. As always, before we get started, you can find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. You can also catch me on my other podcast, Random Wrestling. New episode of that should be coming out this week as well. The concept is very simple. I've assigned numbers to all of the WWE pay-per-views. I have a random number generator, and whatever happens to pop up is the show that I have to talk about that week. Now, the show that I got first was Hell in a Cell 2019. As I'm sure you're aware, not a very fun show, but we made it fun to talk about. So in addition to this, every week you can catch Random Wrestling everywhere that you get this podcast. Now, as you know, we talk about what's going on in wrestling in general. And we talked last week about The Miz becoming the new WWE champion and how much I imagine you guys did not like that very much. My wife made a face at me and said, trash. I always forget that peripherally I make her watch wrestling all the time, and I would not have thought she would know who The Miz was. And she's yelling trash now. Okay, she said he was trash on the real world, so I just learned that my wife knew about him from the real world, and at New Orleans. She pointed out the city to me so as I would be absolutely sure of which season he was on. Trash once again, so as to indicate the fine point of her displeasure at him being a two-time WWE champion. Yeah, she's very upset by two times. Yeah, 10 years apart.
Trash.
First three-time Grand Slam winner in WWE history. Do you think I'm proud of myself that I know that off the top of my head? Because I'm not.
I don't know what to tell you. He was doing that raggedy character on the real world.
It got him kicked off. He was too aggressive. Now, he did take that character and turn it into like a real wrestler. She's doing an imitation of The Miz. She's doing the blah, hand dismissive hand motion about him. She's going back to her food now. She is tired of hearing about The Miz. But The Miz, for at least 2 weeks, was your WWE champion. Until this week, when big bad Bobby Lashley beat the holy hell out of him and became a first time WWE champion. Now, I was the weird guy who, when Bobby Lashley was around in like 06, 07, was a huge Bobby Lashley fan. Looking back on it, I don't necessarily know why, I know that there was a cool black guy who was really strong and beat people up, and I liked him a lot. He is one of those guys that's very big and intimidating, but has the voice of somebody who is not at all intimidating. He sounds a little bit like the guy in the movie that gets friend-zoned by the girl. Like, he has that exact voice on a man that looks like he's made of human growth hormone. So it's like an odd juxtaposition between the two. But Bobby Lashley was a limited performer at that point because he wasn't asked to do more. He went away. He went to TNA. And he got a lot better. He got better in the ring. He got better on the microphone. The only negative was really that he had the headband for a while, and the sweatband looked real weird on him, but he ditched that. And now he's a more complete performer in the Hurt Business with MVP as a mouthpiece for him. If you recall, at the end of Elimination Chamber, MVP made a deal with The Miz that Bobby Lashley would take out champion Drew McIntyre. The Miz would get to cash in with his Money in the Bank contract. In return, The Miz had to give the first title defense to Mr. Lashley. The Miz was able to duck it last week and certainly tried to on Raw, but eventually had to have the match in the main event and was soundly beaten. I really liked it when The Miz won. I think I was one of the very few people that did. And this is why. One, because if you were going to actually build him up into a contender, he could be a very good WWE champion. He's very good on the microphone. When you give him the opportunity to have a good match, he does. Everybody brings up that WrestleMania, I think, 27 match where he main evented against John Cena. I would argue that match was bad not because of The Miz, but because they didn't care about it and it was a setup for The Rock and John Cena. But more importantly, the reason The Miz was the WWE champion was so Bobby Lashley could be the WWE champion. Why wouldn't Bobby Lashley just beat Drew McIntyre, I hear you asking, into your cellular device? Well, because if you were going to save that for, I don't know, WrestleMania or something, you would want somebody to be a buffer in between so that when Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre face each other at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship, a match we haven't seen since, I think, Backlash, you have Bobby Lashley as champion. If you want Bobby to continue as champion, you certainly can. If you want Drew to win the WWE title now for a third time in front of fans, because the WWE doesn't care about your pandemic, it cares as soon as we're allowed to put people in here we are, you can have Drew win the WWE title. So I like The Miz being WWE champion, because the point was never for The Miz to be the WWE champion. To start off NXT, we get a recap of last week. Adam Cole officially turning his back on the Undisputed Era as a whole, taking out Roderick Strong, his one friend left. Kyle O'Reilly is out with an injury. Bobby Fish is just around whenever he feels like it. It certainly seems. I don't know what Bobby Fish does every week, but I know it's not come to NXT, so I assume he's having a great time doing something. Never really thought the Undisputed Era would break up, but here we are. It's a collection of guys that are really talented, but on the smaller side, and it seemed as though if they were ever going to go up to the main roster, it would be as a group, and that's how they would thrive. I certainly never thought that it was going to just be blown up, but I'm not sure where everyone goes from here. I think Adam Cole has all of the tools to be one of the main guys, except for the fact that he's small, and Vince has the mind of a very old man, which is, this is a thing I don't like, and instead of adjusting, I'm just going to rail against it, because if I don't like it, that means it's bad. So Kyle O'Reilly has that exact same problem. Roderick Strong is smaller, but he's ripped, so maybe he gets a pass. And Bobby Fish gets injured a lot and isn't on TV a lot. So as a group, it made a lot of sense. Individually, not quite as sure. In the arena live, we have Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch are NXT Tag Team Champions. It's very easy to forget they're the Tag Team Champions because they don't have them wrestle very much. Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher are out next for this non-title match. I wasn't sure if they were going to continue this team, but I like them. They weren't really doing anything else with Ciampa or Thatcher. They feuded with each other, but before that, Thatcher was losing a bunch of matches and Ciampa was just kind of indiscriminately going after whoever. So this is something for the two of them to do while they figure out what they want to do. Ciampa and Thatcher complement each other really well for a team that was randomly formed for the Dusty Classic. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch are also very good. It is a shame that we don't get to see them wrestle all that often because it doesn't seem like NXT has enough tag teams. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem... It seems like they're on the show every week, but as background pieces to Pete Dunne or Pat McAfee. Not as, you know, your tag champions. They're having an alright match. They don't really get out of second or third gear, but during the match, Imperium... minus Walter, appears on the entrance ramp, which distracts only Ciampa and Thatcher for some reason, and then Thatcher gets pinned by a double-team move. So I thought Imperium was going to NXT UK, but I guess they're going to hang around for a little while. I'm not sure if they were scouting Ciampa and Thatcher, or if they were scouting the tag team champions. Tag team champions would make more sense, but I don't know. But they were here, minus Walter, who's the most important part. But it's good to have Imperium still around. They're a very good team. We see Roderick Strong backstage. We will hear Nailed It from him next. We're back from commercial and Roddy's already in the ring. He says, Adam Cole, get your ass out here right now. If you ever cared about me at all, you will show me the respect of coming out here. He says, there's no answer. He says, that's no surprise. He appeals to him again, but Finn Balor answers instead. I love that Finn Balor never really gets stuff started with him. He kind of goes out and makes his own trouble. Like, generally, not always, but generally, people don't just call Finn Balor out. Finn Balor kind of inserts himself into other people's problems, and then that results in him getting matches. I like that a champion is just, like, running headfirst out there. Like, I will fight anybody, and I would like to right now, please. Roddy somehow has convinced himself that Finn is to blame for everything. Finn says the reason your so-called brotherhood fell apart is because of this title. Now that's true, and it makes the title feel more important. They're arguing back and forth, and Roddy finally hits Finn in the mouth, and they start brawling. Refs run into the ring to try and separate them. At first, I was wondering if we were doing Roddy and Finn before we did Adam Cole and Finn. It turns out to be our main event tonight instead. The entire The Way or Gargano family group is seeing a therapist about Dexter Lumis. Austin Theory is still concerned. Indie Wrestling still has a crush on Dexter Lumis and is drawing his and her names with hearts because that's what happens when girls have crushes. And we go through that segment where wrestling thinks that it is comedy, and it is not. Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are getting ready backstage. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are also getting ready backstage. Tonight, it will be those two teams going against each other for Shayna and Nia's women's tag team titles. We also get a short video package because next week, Io Shirai defends the women's title against Toni Storm. Nia and Shayna are finishing their entrance. Dakota and Raquel are already in the ring. Now, at this point, I had not seen the match happen yet. I wrote that Dakota and Raquel should win this match. I don't think that they will, but they should. Shayna and Nia are a team that were makeshift thrown together, and they aren't really doing anything with them. The women's tag titles have not felt important since Bayley and Sasha had them, and even then that was more of a storyline thing. And no team has really made them feel important. Dakota and Raquel are a really good team, and Raquel has a pinfall victory in a War Games match against the women's champion, so she's on a track here. It would make sense for these women to win those titles, defend them on NXT, and then you have an NXT presence on the main shows because Dakota and Raquel would go to Raw and SmackDown to defend them as needed. That makes way more sense to me then my least favorite wrestler, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, just having those titles and most of the time forgetting about it. Dakota Kai and Shayna Baszler have a very long story that never really paid off in NXT. When Shayna Baszler was in NXT, she was a monster, she was a bully, she was the head baddie in charge. She was the women's champion, nobody could really touch her. She had the MMA background, she was the Ronda Rousey of NXT. And she picked on everybody, but nobody more so than Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai at the time was a babyface or a good guy, and kind of meek and unassuming, and was very easily picked on by Shayna. And for the longest time, Shayna would dare her to do something, and she wouldn't because she was scared of Shayna. Shayna did that thing where she stomps on your arm and it looks like it breaks it. And since then, Dakota was just terrified of her, and she would show flashes of fighting back against Shayna. But there was a story going there where Dakota eventually, "I'm not scared of you anymore," and fights back. But we never really got that because Shayna went to the main roster to dominate in an elimination chamber, become a vampire against Becky Lynch for a second, not beat Becky Lynch, and then kind of sink back in. And now being in a tag team with my least favorite wrestler, Nia Jax. And that's about all we have so far. Meanwhile, Dakota Kai stayed in NXT. She became a bad guy. And she's had a couple title matches, but hasn't really stood out. Now she's in the team with the Kevin Nash, or the Diesel to her Shawn Michaels in Raquel Gonzalez. Raquel's going to be the next one up, not Dakota, but she's a completely different person, and that's shown through where she's made it very clear that she is no longer scared of Shayna Baszler. That's not the person she is anymore. I wish that we had gotten a chance to see that story in NXT, but it does make for a much more interesting match than it would have otherwise, being that these are the two teams that are involved. So, as we go on, Dakota gets a knee injury during the match that she's selling, as expected. Raquel Gonzalez is a monster in this match. Toward the end, Shayna puts the chokehold on Dakota. Dakota fights it and rolls both of them over, tags Raquel, and Raquel comes in for a second. That was an awesome spot and great with their history. As they are rolling, they take out the ref. Dakota is still the legal woman, and a second ref runs in, counts the win for Shayna because Dakota has passed out. Now, she did tag Raquel, but I guess the ref didn't see it, so Dakota stayed in and passed out. Wade Barrett says this whole thing stinks. He doesn't know how right he is. That was a really bad way to end that match. Listen, I get it. You wanted to have a Dusty Classic on the women's side, too, because it's historic, and you love saying this is the first time the women have done something. You get Beth Phoenix to talk about it. Oh, my God, it's so empowering. It's so wonderful that the women are having a chance for this tournament, and that is true, and I get it. You really wanted to have a women's tournament, but when you had that women's tournament, you kind of put yourself into a corner where the winners of that tournament, Dakota and Raquel, were going to get a shot at the women's tag team titles. Now, you have a few options with that decision. Dakota and Raquel can win the tag team titles and tell the best version of this story. For the record, I'd like to point out this isn't hindsight booking. This is a very clear picture forward booking, and you chose to ignore it. Dakota and Raquel can win those tag titles. Then they are the women's tag champions on NXT. They can also travel to Raw and SmackDown, and you can have an NXT presence on those shows and give more visibility to NXT, the same NXT that's having to move its night possibly to Tuesdays because you're getting beat by AEW. Not saying this would fix it, just saying it might help. You can have them defend those tag titles against any and everybody, and then when you have built up a women's tag team that are good guys that have heat behind them, down the road, they can beat Dakota and Raquel, or Raquel can have too much on her plate, or Dakota can lose them a match and Raquel can turn on her and go from there. You could postpone this match for a while so that you can tell whatever bad story you want to tell with Shayna Baszler and my least favorite wrestler, Nia Jax, and then have them lose eventually, with consideration given to the fact that you're not doing anything with them anyway, and you never really knew what you wanted to do with these women's tag titles, because you don't have that many women's tag teams, because you don't have that many men's tag teams. Tag teams, nailed it, nailed both those words in a row. Or you could have a really long, knockdown, drag-out match between these four women. I mean, mostly Shayna Baszler on her side, because she's the only good wrestler on that team. And Dakota and Raquel can lose by just a hair. There can be a screwy finish, or somebody can get distracted at the end, or Shayna can just pull out the win over Dakota, since Raquel's the one you're going to be going with going forward anyway. You could have done any of those things. The one of the few things that you could not do was a real dumb, I tagged my partner, but the second ref didn't see it, so you lose, deflating finish. And a short match that had no heat, because why would it? And wasn't that great? I think in part because those four women knew what that finish was going to be, and I imagine it's harder to be motivated under those kinds of circumstances. I'm not saying anybody was unprofessional here, but I'm saying if you send me out there in something I know everybody's going to hate, I'm probably going to be less likely to crank it up into fifth gear for you. And that's what we saw. We saw a okay at best match that filled a little bit of time, and nothing happened, and everybody involved is worse off for it. So, you know, the entire opposite of what the point is supposed to be with these kinds of matches. So cool, that's over. Never gonna think about it again, I guess. Cut away from that, and oh, wonderful, LA Knight is actually here and not sitting in his car like a dork. Eli Drake or LA Knight can be a star if WWE lets him. I think he'll be used well in NXT. He's a good promo. He's very good in the ring. The only problem is that so was Ethan Carter III, and he got to the main roster, and I guess Vince was having a bad day the first day he met him, and just decided that bad day continues on for forever, and I've decided you're not a good wrestler anymore despite all the evidence, and so I'm never going to have you do anything. So Eli Drake could be that. If they let him be, he can absolutely be a star. He says that people called him the Tom Brady of wrestling. He says Tom Brady wishes he was half the man he was. He said he's a first-round draft pick. Talks himself up. He's going to be great. I'm excited to see him in the ring. Forgot how much he sounds like The Rock. It's if The Rock and Stone Cold were merged into a person and that person cut a promo, it would be LA Knight. I dig it. I'm excited to see him. There's a promo video of Karrion Kross beating Santos Escobar last week. I talked about it last week. It's the best match I've seen either of them have, and it did a lot for both of them to me. You know, the opposite of the tag team match this week. We're back to the therapy session with the Gargano family. There's a lot of wrestling jokes, which are jokes that they wrote down in a wrestling format that never really translate. The point of it, basically, is that Loomis let Austin Theory go because Austin Theory was annoying. This kidnapping could have been like an impactful story. Austin Theory was kidnapped by like a serial killer. And it could change him and he could have real problems, but he doesn't. And it's comic relief, but it's wrestling comic relief, so it's not like funny or whatever. And so the whole thing's a joke. I'm not saying Dexter Loomis is the most to-be-seriously-taken character of all time here, but you could have told, like, an interesting story with this and had Austin Theory, like, doubting himself and scared, kind of like Roderick Strong was when he was kidnapped. But we're doing the opposite. So that's going to be good. We also go from that real funny time to a graphic letting us next week. It'll be Finn Balor versus Adam Cole for the NXT title. I'm surprised we're doing it, one, so soon, and two, on an episode of NXT. I'm not sure when the next takeover would be. I mean, I know there'll be one WrestleMania or an NXT title match on WrestleMania. I kind of thought that would be Finn Balor, Adam Cole, but I guess we're just going to do it. I'm fine with that. That'll be fun to talk about. But for tonight, our main event will be Finn Balor versus Roderick Strong, I believe in a non-title match, as a result of what happened earlier tonight. William Regal's backstage. He says because of what happened in that women's tag match, next week he has an announcement that'll basically be a real big deal. Here's the thing. I don't care what it is. That was a stupid way to end that match, and it didn't do anything for anybody. It literally doesn't matter. What happens? He could make new tag titles. He could have another match between them. It was bad enough that it almost doesn't matter now if they win the tag team titles, because that would almost be worse, because then especially why did you do this? So next week we're going to get some weird announcement about, I don't know, maybe new women's tag titles for NXT, which they don't need, or something. I don't know. There's going to be an announcement, and this is still going to have been dumb and bad for everybody involved. So that's where we're at. Roger Strong has his own entrance now, his own theme and graphics. I don't know what he's going to be without the Undisputed Era. Before the Undisputed Era, he was like a boring family man, good guy character. Hope we don't go back to that. Bad Guy Roddy was the best Roddy, and Undisputed Era Roddy was the best Roddy because Roddy wasn't the main focus. The problem is that Roddy doesn't necessarily have the mic skills to pull that off, and that's fine. You don't necessarily need those. But Adam Cole was the guy who talked in Undisputed Era. And so Roddy didn't have to talk a lot. He was the fall guy sometimes, and he was kind of the first person you had to face from the Undisputed Era, so he got beat a lot. But he got to do what he does best, and that's wrestle. He got turned on by Adam Cole, which probably means he's a good guy. I don't know how interesting he is as a good guy or by himself. So we're gonna have to see. Kyle O'Reilly's probably gonna be fine. Adam Cole's gonna be great. Bobby Fish probably won't be here. I don't know. He's not here this week or last week or the week before that, so I'm just going to assume he's not going to be there. Finn hits the corner drop kick. He hits the coup de grace, and he hits the 1916 to pick up the hard-fought win. That's both of his finishers. That was a really fun match. I forgot how good Roddy is simply in the ring. Finn is celebrating in the ring with that NXT title, and Adam Cole is shown standing at the entrance ramp, smiling. This is a big deal because Adam Cole threw away that brotherhood and that friendship of the Undisputed Era, as well as the backup, just for a chance to become the NXT champion again. He's been NXT champion before, and all he wanted was a match with Finn Balor for that title. And in order to get that match, just to simply have the opportunity to have that match, he burnt down everything that he and the Undisputed Era had built. The Undisputed Era has been going for what feels like years, and it could have gone for a lot longer if they ever came to the main roster. I mean, I'm sure they would not be used correctly, but they would have had each other's backs and done well. And they could have continued in NXT for I don't know how long. They didn't feel stale at all. And Adam Cole was so angered by Kyle O'Reilly getting two championship matches and him never getting that consideration that he turned on Kyle O'Reilly. Bobby Fish wasn't around, and when Roddy questioned him about it, he turned on Roddy too. He's so focused on the NXT championship that he's willing to throw away any friendships or brotherhoods that he had just for a shot. And nothing makes the NXT title feel more important than that. But that means that's the end of NXT this week. I will be back next week to talk about that episode. We have our NXT title being defended. Pretty soon we're going to be seeing the women's title being defended. We're going to get an earth-shattering announcement about women's tag teams in NXT. I guess. I don't know. I'm sure there'll be more really good comedy with the Gargano family. I can't wait. In the meantime, let me know what you think of the show. Let me know at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT on Twitter. And be on the lookout anywhere you're listening to this podcast. You can also find Random Wrestling. New episode will be up this week as well. For now, though, I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.